We've got a major update. Attorney General Pam Bondi goes after the FBI.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Let's open up those phone lines. Phone lines will be open in just a second for your call at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about the breaking news item that came out. Look, we all anticipated, as Will did, that, you know, maybe it wasn't going to be much of a thing when the Epstein files, if they will be released. What was it going to look like? What was it going to be? It felt a little maybe too good to be true, if you will, in a typical kind of government way. And look, I think we got to be fair here and say Pam Bondi went on Jesse Waters, hyped it up a little bit. The next day, all these influencers were given binders that had the first, you know,
phase one.
Yeah. And really what was inside of it and the details that got released were things that had been released for years. Most people had seen versions of this, digitized versions of a lot of the content that was there, maybe some specifics here and there, heavily redacted images. And then, of course, you have what became a very interesting moment, which is maybe the first infighting we've seen publicly between departments in the Trump administration. So you have Pam Bondi sending a pretty spirited email, or not email, but message, letter. To Kash Patel, the FBI director, saying, this is not all that's there. You guys are keeping stuff from us. I have a source that's telling me on the inside that this is happening. This doesn't necessarily put a lot of trust right now into what a lot of people feel, because people felt like, again, if you're going to say promises given, promises kept kind of thing, this isn't that moment. But she's saying, hey, it's not on me. It is actually on the FBI. It's not necessarily even on Kash Patel, because these requests came in before. It is, it feels a little Washington that this would happen. That you wouldn't, of course, get the information you're looking for. You know, I said it feels a little James Comey-ish in the sense of like, I'm going to promise you something, then I'm going to kind of come in with a little bit of a curveball. Never expect Washington to not be Washington.
That's right. And what we have here in this letter from Attorney General Bondi to Director Patel is that before you came into office, I requested the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein. In response to this request, I received approximately 200 pages of documents, which consisted primarily of flight logs, Epstein's list of contacts, and a list of victims' names and phone numbers. I repeatedly questioned whether this was the full set of documents responsive to my request, and I was repeatedly assured by the FBI we had received the full set of documents. Late yesterday, this is last night, I learned from a source that the FBI field office in New York was in possession of thousands of pages of documents related to the investigation and indictment of Epstein. Despite my repeated requests, the FBI never disclosed the existence of these files. When I spoke to you yesterday, you were just as surprised as I was to learn this new information. So what we have is an opportunity here. Pam Bondi demanded that by 8 a.m. this morning that she receive everything from the field office in New York. We don't know what's happened yet, but this is a real opportunity moment to, one, expose the deep state, those that defied an order by the attorney general to give me all of these documents, and for Kash Patel to clean house. Now they should know who is hiding things, who's withholding things. But
the deadline's passed.
They have to deliver on this.
Yeah, the deadline's passed. And look, I want to hear from you. At the same time, you have President Trump meeting with Vladimir Zelensky right now at the White House to kind of secure that mineral deal. We'll talk about that coming up, as well as some more great content from our team, including Harry Hutchinson. He'll be joining us later in the broadcast. But I want to hear from you. How do you feel about this? Were you upset? Were you happy? Do you feel like this is what you expected? Do you like the fact that they're being a little bit more transparent when they're infighting, I guess, if you will? 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. And look, this is the last day of the month. The last day of the month. You need to be part of the ACLJ right now. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. Again, final day of the month. Very important day for us. So I encourage you. We are committed to fighting and winning, but it's going to require a lot of resources. And frankly, we're a bit behind. So right now, I could use your support. Go to aclj.org/champions. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. And again, give us a call. Welcome back to Seculo again. A lot of you are just joining us, so we got to restate the facts here. Will, we know what's going on at the State Department, the Department of Justice, the Director of National Intelligence in place. The cabinet is starting to get filled. And of course, they were saying, hey, we made you a lot of promises. We're going to release the JFK files. We're going to release the RFK files. We're going to release the at least the flight logs of Jeffrey Epstein and maybe more, the documents that were there. Again, these are more salacious things. They're not necessarily anything that's going to change the world dramatically, you'd think. There's probably, as you said, not a lot more information than we already at least suspect that's in a lot of these documents. But you had a weird moment where Attorney General Pam Bondi, who, again, is a friend, someone that we really respect, and someone that I think is incredibly talented, she goes on Fox News and says, hey, tomorrow you're going to start seeing some stuff. Jesse Waters pushes back and says, what kind of stuff? Are we actually going to see things? She said, yep, you're going to see flight logs. You're going to see a lot of it. It's going to start rolling out. The day progressed yesterday. Eventually, it gets dropped. It gets released in sort of a very showy way where these influencers were all given these big folders. At the same time, Pam Bondi releases a statement, which is a letter to Kash Patel, director of the FBI, saying, this isn't all the documents. People within the FBI are intentionally keeping this in, and again, in the Southeastern District of New York, which seems to always happen.
And what do we have here? I think a little bit of an unforced media error by the Attorney General's office, where after finding that out, should have put out a statement and said, here's what I've learned. Basically, what is laid out in the letter and said, I know I promised this last night, but I would prefer to actually get all of the documents and then release it instead of still doing the rollout plan of what sort at of the pump. Time yeah. they were told was everything. But regardless of that, the implications here, this is why do people care about Jeffrey Epstein in this story? It's salacious. It made a lot of headlines, but at the core of it, it's an individual who is running an egregious human trafficking ring, and potentially high-profile politicians, celebrities, wealthy billionaires could all be implicated in some way. And for years, they've been
protected.
They've been protected. No one other than Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were indicted. Ghislaine Maxwell serving 20 years in prison. Jeffrey Epstein died before his trial in jail. And so everyone has the question, because as Attorney General Bondi said, there's more than 200 victims. And when you have more than 200 victims, it begs the question of where are the others that have committed crimes and why has no one been held accountable? That's why people care about this. It's not just about the gossip and the salaciousness of the names involved, but getting to the core of something very corrupt happening in this country and elites getting away with it because of who they are. So when there are people in the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York and the FBI field office in New York that are obstructing what the Attorney General, their boss, is asking, saying, give me everything. And they say, we have. But in reality, they were covering up by withholding everything she asked for. That's a very serious problem. That is the definition of deep state actors trying to subvert what their bosses are telling them to do. That can't happen. That can't rise to the level of rebuilding trust in our institutions. If people are deciding that they're going to do whatever they think is best instead of taking the directives from the Attorney General of the United States, a confirmed by the Senate, nominated by the elected president, Attorney General, and they're going to decide to go it alone, that can't happen.
Yeah, I also think, I'm looking at the comments right now, unlike the other side of the aisle, which I feel like will always try to coalesce in certain things, so it's like, hey, today we're anti-Israel. All right, we're all anti-Israel. Like, that feels like how it works. With my friends that are even liberal, they all take on the same causes at the same time, and they all make excuses for everything. I'm looking at the comments right now. I was on X earlier. People are not making excuses for this. The MAGA crowd, if you will, is not happy about this, and it's not what they feel like they voted for. What's going to happen is you're going to have your most loyal people who are really believing in you start the process of going, this is the exact same as any other Washington, D.C. situation. Did I expect a bombshell to drop out of these documents? No, I didn't. Truthfully, I know a little bit too much of how Washington, D.C. always works. And who knows what's even in these documents and what exists. Maybe I'll be wrong. But what I wasn't expecting was this odd public display. This odd public display of let's do a almost a press moment of we're doing this. And then you have the Attorney General writing a letter to the very newly appointed FBI Director, Kash Patel, almost inserting a rivalry in the public eye that may or may not be real in the sense of it feels very Washington. And I'm looking at the comments and people who feel that way. I mean, there's a lot of people commenting, trust has been broken. We were played. I see that over and over again. Now, that has always been a problem in Washington, D.C. It's always been a problem in politics when you make these big swooping promises and then you can't actually live up to it. Because you know what? There may be things that are in these classified documents that people don't want getting out there. There may be things in the classified documents that don't need to be out there. We have to be okay with that too, of knowing that there are national secrets sometimes for a reason. I don't think that's necessarily the right thing, and I don't know what it could be in this one, but maybe there is a point to all of this, but don't make the promise.
Well, and once again, and to be fair, what the reporting is a little bit also on the influencers that received it,
yeah,
was it looked as though it was a stage setup photo op moment. Uh-huh. It was not, apparently. They were there for a pre-scheduled meeting about new media because they've been a part of the White House press briefings and things of that. So they were there for that, and Pam Bondi was at the White House with these folders and handed them out. And then, unfortunately for the way it rolled out, when they were leaving, press is there, just started taking photos and they lifted it up. It wasn't meant to be a photo op per se, but it came across, it also came across like it was,
though,
like,
hey, we're going to go live in 30 minutes and start reading this.
It looked as though it was made a celebratory moment. And I think that takes away from the gravity of what people want is accountability. It's not just knowing the names. It's knowing why has no one else been prosecuted. There is no fathomable way that more than 200 victims and the only two that have criminal charges against them were Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And that's where the situation gets dicey, I think, for the Attorney General and Kash Patel, too. It's not just if they release things. People want accountability. They want these things to see people punished for what are egregious crimes. And so even if they just release more documents, and maybe they show that other people, or maybe they don't, because maybe the FBI was never investigating that. So maybe documentation doesn't exist about other potential perpetrators, but I think that that could also be a moment where people are like, we don't trust the FBI. You released everything and you still didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Phone lines are open. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. The next segment, we're going to talk a bit also about Trump's current meeting with Vladimir Zelensky and the push for that mineral deal. Let's actually take a call real quick to head into that. Ronald's calling in South Carolina on line one. Watch it on Rumble, our favorite free speech platform. Ronald, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking the call. Yeah, I commend the Trump administration and the cabinet for actually figuring out a way to try and recoup some of the billions and billions of dollars and such that was given to Ukraine in the way of weaponry and stuff. To literally get these types of minerals from China would have probably been very expensive, you know, to produce. And now,
Ronald,
we can be the world leader of producing something for half the cost.
It's a very Donald Trump kind of move to figure out some sort of deal that it goes beyond, you need it in the war. No, you need it in the war. Coming up with some option that somehow has economic positivity for America, but also opens the door to that communication. And I think that's what is happening right now. We now see an open door of communication with Ukraine, something that was a bit tense with Donald Trump. Still, I'm sure is. I don't wish to be in that meeting, but I do wish I could hear what was happening because I do think that they're sure there's tension there. But you're right, Ronald. This was a interesting way. It's not unlike to me, though, who knows what's actually going to happen with that, the concept when he started saying, hey, we're going to make Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East. And here's how we're going to do it. It's going to become an economic stronghold, and America's going to help with that. It starts a conversation because all of a sudden it's a new idea, and new ideas go a long way. And they go a long way because your initial reaction is to push back. And then you start to really think about it. And you go, oh, yeah. So Ukraine has all these minerals. They can start paying us back. We can have an interest in there. We've already put in the money. So let's figure out how we can benefit from it. Pretty interesting call. I again want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We have, honestly, there's so many of you watching. And none of you are calling. So we got six lines open right now. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. I'd rather hear from you on any of these topics. So right now, give us a call. Harry Hutchins joining us in the next segment. We're going to talk a little bit more about Russia, Ukraine, the minerals deal, and then we'll continue discussion as well about the FBI versus the Attorney General happening right now. Welcome back to Seculo. A few of you took the note and started calling in. We got still three lines open. Will, I wanted to move a little bit because we had a last caller talking about right now in sort of what feels, you know, sometimes it feels like you're looking at the at something that's not real, like a Twilight Zone moment. You have that Twilight Zone moment right now of Vladimir Zelensky getting out of the car, being greeted by President Trump. And we know these conversations are happening right now because of the potential of a mineral deal. And so you understand what that is, what the mineral deal is. But the main thing is to try to bring some financial incentive to really what we've invested in many ways. We've already invested so much in this war. We might as well benefit. If Ukraine is going to have all of these mineral sales, well, the U.S. needs to be paid back a bit. And also, that's a good way to help fund this this mission that they're on.
That's right. So rare earth minerals are in high demand from everything from batteries for electric vehicles to other things within the tech world, chips that are produced.
Everything is being
used. Literally everything. It comes back to rare earth minerals. A lot of those come from China and sub-Saharan Africa has a lot of mining for these rare earth minerals. But Eastern Europe and many places do have deposits of this. And so what the goal of this is to kind of come to an agreement where there's almost like a revenue share between the mining of these minerals. This is also a step by signing an agreement with the Ukrainians to move towards a end of the war. If you're signing an agreement with the Ukrainians, you obviously don't want Russia to take over that country, and then your agreement is not worth anything. And also, President Trump did something last night that I see nowhere in American media. I have looked, our team, we saw reports of this.
Oh, yeah.
Looked across, we spent probably 15 minutes making sure we were okay with talking about this, that it wasn't Russian propaganda, because New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Axios, Politico, down the line, no one even had a blurb about this, especially in light of them having a meeting with Zelensky today, that President Trump extended for another year sanctions on Russia that started back in 2014. If he were in the pocket of Putin, that would be the perfect time. Why would he extend this? But it doesn't fit the narrative.
Yeah, the mainstream media has got to ignore it. They've got to ignore the fact that we're going to continue our sanctions on Russia. And look, I think that there's a lot to be said in that. This is an interesting moment in time when you have a Zelensky meeting. You have Putin meeting, or Putin's team meeting with people like Marco Rubio. There is this moment right now where things could get better, but of course they put in, America says, hey, we're going to keep these sanctions, but as you said, the mainstream media, completely silent.
Instead, what I'm seeing a lot of articles about, because this meeting is about signing and hopefully completing this minerals deal, is that Trump says this deal could be worth billions to America, maybe it's not. They're trying to discredit a deal that could lead to peace. Why? Why are they afraid of President Trump brokering peace in this war that's been going on? The Biden team certainly couldn't do it. They escalated the war. They signed off on long-range ballistic missiles and medium-range ballistic missiles being fired into Russian territory. Yeah. Everything they did aggravated the war more instead of trying to find peace.
Yeah, and I think with this war specifically, victory is very hard to define. It's victory for Russia maybe is a little easier to define, which is they want their piece of land back and they're going to fight for it. aggressively. And, it's rough. It's rough stuff. But for Ukraine, the war really to go on the defense or on the offense, it's hard to define that victory. So at this point, it is kind of bringing it to an end. It's saying, let's figure out a way out of this because it's been 3 years. Look, I think Ukraine actually held themselves a little stronger than anyone ever thought. If anything, it showed a bit of weakness from Russia, the fact that Ukraine could continue to fight back at this level. Of course, that is with support of America in some, around the corner way. But I want to take calls on this as well. 1-800-684-3110. We do have a lot of calls coming in about the Epstein release and all of that. I think we should take some of those as we head into the second half hour of our broadcast. Again, if you want to call in, Harry Hutchins is going to be joined with us. And also, there's a fun bit of news from our friend AOC, as Professor Hutchinson would say, as she is making a plea to ask, hey, just making sure I'm not in trouble with a certain department for telling people in my district to do something that maybe violated the law. We'll find out more in the second half hour. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go to Ricky in Tennessee, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube. A lot of thousands of you do each and every day, and over 467,000 of you subscribe to the channel. So thank you. Ricky, you're on the air.
Thank you for letting me call in. I was wondering, now, before I get started, I'm all for Pam Bondi cash sale.
Absolutely.
But Pam, Ms. Bondi said that it could take months before indictments were out. But why can't they just put an indictment on somebody that they already know will stick and then hook them, so to speak, and then reel them in with more evidence later?
Yeah, why is the salacious stuff that they can actually get out of this document not, why don't just drop? You don't have to go through the thousands and thousands of pages. That's really not what the American people are interested in. I kind of see Ricky's point of view in that, saying, hey, I'm pretty sure you can identify the top stuff.
Right. Well, to be fair as well, one, the fact that she was told they had nothing else and there are, they do have to go through this document because a lot of this material is prepared for like a grand jury. It's never expected to see the public. So it may have information about victims that if you're a victim, you may not want in the public eye. You don't want millions and millions of Americans reading or having. So you have to be careful when you have investigative material that could get out as well. I mean, here's the other thing. This is from releases that have already come out. And this is where you go back to when the U.S. Attorney Acosta said that, bringing federal charges was above his pay grade because he belongs to intelligence. I mean, in disclosures, this is from the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Federal Bureau of Investigation from 2008 when the state was charging him with these crimes. This is someone advising that that Epstein is currently being prosecuted by the state of Florida and is complying with all conditions of his plea with the state of Florida. Epstein has also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. There is a reason people within the government don't want this stuff out, because there's a lot of conjecture about his ties to intelligence and things of that nature. But the likelihood of, even with these words right here, of him being an FBI informant, there are people that are trying to cover themselves, making sure everything is all buttoned up because of what may be in some of this material. Some operations that maybe he did help the FBI on that led to convictions and other things. And some of that may need to be protected, as Logan pointed out. If there are things that could relate to national security or a big criminal bust that would then could potentially give someone on appeal a piece of information, the government may need to keep that out of the public eye. But there are a lot of questions that are unanswered about this, as we've said. And it could take months to go through thousands of documents to see what can be released.
All right, this is the end of our first half hour, but we got a second half hour coming up, and I want to take this last minute to really tell you, this is the last day of the month. We have a huge pro-life campaign rolling out next week, and our team has been tirelessly working to fight, whether it's fighting the deep state or finally fighting for our pro-life friends. We got to continue battling in so many cases around at home and around the globe. The ACLJ is involved, the ECLJ, all of the connected entities. It's really an intense time. And we're committed to fighting and winning all of these cases, but they're going to require vast resources. This is the time. Quite frankly, we're a little bit behind. So we could use your support today as we head into a big month of March. Help us end February strong. Go to ACLJ.org. Second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, find us on ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines have jammed up, so we'll take as many of those as we can in this half hour. I do want to restate sort of the main topic of the day, because some of you just pick us up at the 30-minute mark, which is where we're at, which means you've missed half an hour of this show. You can always go back and watch that later on ACLJ.org, on our podcast feed, on YouTube, Rumble, X, or on the Salem News Channel, where we broadcast live each and every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I was on the Mike Gallagher Show, which is our lead-in on the Salem News Channel this morning. Had a lot of fun talking to him. They're talking about they had some interesting callers. They had an interesting day, so it's a fun show to go back and check out. But Will, give us sort of a 1,000-foot view. Let us know what's happening here. At this moment, people know yesterday they said, hey, the Jeffrey Epstein list is going to come out. It came out, sort of, and Kash Patel got a not-so-fun letter from Pam Bondi, Attorney General, and she said, hey, we know there's more stuff because I have sources that are telling me that people within your staff were not compliant.
That's right. So in this letter, the Attorney General told the director of the FBI that her request for this information came before he was confirmed, but that repeatedly questioned if the materials that were given to her about the Jeffrey Epstein case were complete. And she was repeatedly told, yes, this is it. About 200 pages total. Some flight logs, his address book, and a list of victims. Then a whistleblower gets involved out of the FBI's field office in New York and tells the Attorney General, actually, there's thousands of pages of documents and videos and recordings, and all of the investigative material surrounding this case is in New York, not in your D.C. office. So she sent this letter and demanded by 8 a.m. today, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, that everything be delivered. That's all records, documents, audio and video recordings, materials related to Jeffrey Epstein and his clients, regardless of how such information was obtained.
Do we have any information of whether that happened
or not?
We
don't have an update yet.
So they could have, in theory, happened. I feel like they probably would have confirmed it or at least given some sort of indication. But as far as we know, as we are live, that has not been confirmed whether that has happened or not. We'll take a look into it and see. I want to take a quick call. And that hopefully will set up the next half hour of the broadcast because we've got a packed show coming up. Harry Hutchinson's joining us. Let's go to Susan, who's calling in Kentucky on line three.
Hello. I'm calling regarding the list.
Yep.
And I feel that if any information does get disclosed to the public, it should be about the customers, those elites that took part in that disgusting.
I don't mean to cut you off, Susan, just because we're running out of time in this segment, but I think that's sort of the issue. There are a lot of people. Look, Jeffrey Epstein was a very powerful guy and also a very well-liked guy who did a lot of favors for people. If you look at the flight logs, you're going to find a lot of names that you're familiar with, some that you're not, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they committed crimes. That doesn't mean necessarily just because they knew this guy, went to his house, did anything, that anything nefarious happened. So you have that situation where though you'll find out who would be on a flight log, that doesn't, say that they committed any crimes. Often they were flying on his planes without him because they were chartering those planes back and forth or he was giving them. So there's a lot of that, Susan, where just a list, though we have a list of the flight log, it doesn't necessarily always line up with, well, they clearly were involved in this horrible ring.
Well, and the other problem as well is they released his address book effectively, meaning for many people in the public, oh, if he had your phone number, you're a criminal. That's more harmful than it is helpful. That's why getting all the other information, what was the FBI doing? Did the FBI look into other people? Were they trying to shut this down, not just by getting the head of the ring, but also those that may have purportedly participated in crimes?
All right. We'll be back in just a few seconds. I want you to join us right now here at the ACLJ. Phone lines are completely jammed. And I love to see that heading in to this second half hour because I always like to hear from as many of you as possible. So right now, if you're watching on Facebook, or you're watching on Rumble or on YouTube, if you're watching one of our streaming platforms that has a feature that is like a follow, subscribe, or like, during this next break, I'm just going to ask you to do that. That really helps us out, because even just that simple task gets the word out there. Welcome back to Seculo, starting to head towards the end of the show today, but we can't do it without having one of our great attorneys in. We're going to have Professor Harry Hutchinson joining us in this segment. Again, Will, there's a lot of news happening. There's still a lot of comments coming in about the Epstein list and all that. We'll get to that, but we want to move a little bit because maybe we'll move to the AOC news, and then we'll move back. So phone lines are open. There's two lines that are open right now. A couple people dropped, 1-800-684-3110. Sometimes you got to at least go, okay, this is too good to be true. A little bit of headlines that happened. I'll let you take it from here.
That's right. So apparently the distinguished Congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, wrote a letter to the Attorney General. We've been talking about Pam Bondi quite a bit today, but she's curious if maybe she's in a little bit of trouble. She wants to know if she is under investigation for advising her constituents on how to communicate with immigration officers. This has been in the news that she has been telling people that, you know, here's how you can maybe not be on the radar of ICE. She's gotten into public disputes with Tom Homan about this. But now she's asking the Attorney General, is there an investigation into me? What's your read on this, Professor Hutchison, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, number one, the appointment of Pam Bondi as Attorney General has helped balance the scales of justice. And so now Democrats fear some retribution for their misconduct. And so I think in this particular case involving AOC, there are three questions. First, is she under investigation? Number one. Number two, should she be under investigation? And thirdly, should other Democrats, including Chuck Schumer, be placed under investigation? Clearly, in my view, AOC has engaged in activities which justify an investigation. She is trying to advise her constituents and others on how to avoid the law. And in some sense, she's engaged in behavior that could amount to an obstruction of justice. And so I think illegals who are in the United States have violated the law already. But in addition, many of those individuals have engaged in illegal activities in their home country, but also in the United States. And so is she trying to help individuals who've committed additional crimes to avoid retribution by Tom Homan and perhaps the Justice Department? So I think her fears are warranted.
I want to quickly break in right now because we know that during this meeting right now, Trump and Zelensky and J.D. Vance are having that there was a very tense moment. They've just released the clip of that. Can we pull that quickly to see if we get the audio of that so we can play it? Because it is a very interesting moment that I think you need to see behind the scenes what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's actually happening in the Oval Office is moments ago this had happened. We'll get to that in a minute, but Will, I'll let you get back to it. I just wanted to inform our crew so we could get that.
That's right, and there is reporting about that J.D. Vance and President Trump were not shy about telling President Zelensky, you don't have any cards
with
here
the cameras
to play. So we'll see if that part was captured on camera. They were saying that it wasn't as tense at the very beginning, but the journalists that are still in the room watching have been able to see that, you know.
Yeah,
that,
seeing it with no audio right now, I can tell you it seems pretty intense.
He looks intense, though.
Yeah,
Vladimir Zelensky, he looks pretty intense all the time. He's a wartime leader, as they say.
Well, we'll see what we can pull.
Also, we did want to ask you, Professor Hutchison, about the deep state within the FBI that is seemingly, one, defying orders from the Attorney General by not turning over information that she requested, as well as the fact that in and of itself, not turning these things over, it appears the deep state doesn't want transparency to the American people against the wishes of both the FBI director and the attorney general. How serious is that?
I think it's very, very serious. And so I think we are now living in a world of defiance on one hand, but also a world of make-believe. In other words, the deep staters believe that they are more important than the elected representatives of the American people. Pam Bondi was appointed by a democratically elected individual, President Trump, but many people in the DOJ, many people in the FBI still believe that they are indeed superior in authority and expertise. And so what we've seen transpire in New York City, I think, is an example of that. And one of the things that Kash Patel needs to do expeditiously is to clean house. And so one of the things that I would encourage him to do immediately is to fire the leadership in New York City and install new leaders, perhaps from Nebraska, perhaps from Mississippi or North Dakota, someone who is untainted by the New York office. And we also need to clean out the DOJ's office in New York as well.
We have a call I kind of want to take here as we set up this. Let's go to Kathy in Kentucky. She's watching on YouTube right now. Kathy, can we go to her line? There you go. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I am concerned that violence may be resorted to by those that are being fired, or especially if the media bias doesn't work for their purposes. Is law enforcement empowered to respond, and are legal ramifications in place to counter such circumstances?
Yeah, let's talk first about the legal ramifications. I think that's something that people are concerned about, that maybe the Trump team, because of history, we look at it, hopefully they have the right people in place this time and are prepared for these challenges that could be coming even from their own departments.
I think that's precisely correct. And I think the Trump administration should have a team that is prepared to act expeditiously to go after rogue agents and rogue lawyers and charge them potentially with obstruction of justice. Keep in mind what the Biden administration did. They engaged in lawfare. But in this particular case, I would urge the Trump administration to be prepared to do what? To enforce the law within the bounds of the Constitution. And so individuals who are unprepared to enforce the Constitution, to follow the law, A, they should be fired, and B, they should be charged.
And to Kathy's other point, concerns about violence from those that are fired, I mean, I think that goes back to the discussion we had earlier in this week where Tulsi Gabbard was highlighting what CNN reported, that the CIA, you know, if you start firing people at CIA, they could sell secrets to Russia and China. So what, I mean, I think that proves the point of why these people need to be fired. If their first action after losing their job working for the United States government is treason, then that person shouldn't be in the job to begin with. And yes, I understand that there are risks when you believe those people may exist, that they could sell secrets, state secrets, to foreign governments. But that's the entire problem with the deep state. If you can't trust them to lose their job gracefully and not be working for the government anymore and not just go get hired at a defense contractor or something, the absurdity of thinking that we can't fire people because they could either get violent or they could sell secrets to an enemy, that is why the deep state has to be drained. Those people probably do exist. They don't need to work for the U.S. government.
We got
anymore.
A couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110, but I did want to say in the next segment, we are going to have some of that footage from inside the White House right now. It's a very tense, what some are describing as a nothing short of remarkable, as it turned into an angry shouting match between Trump, Vance, and Zelensky, including terms like, you don't have the cards, we've empowered you to be a tough guy. We're going to have that footage coming up in just a minute, so you're not going to want to miss that. Stay tuned for the next segment. Our team is pulling it right now, and we're going to have that coming up. Again, we're able to do this real-time live analysis of everything that's happening in Washington, D.C. and around the world because of your support as an ACLJ champion, that's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis, or someone who just gives a one-time gift. If you give a one-time gift, I encourage you right now. You want to be a champion of life? You want to hear what we're going to have going on next week with our big pro-life announcements? Join us right now. Become an ACLJ champion by going to aclj.org/champions. We do have one or two lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. And once again, I want to tell you that coming up in the next segment, we're going to go inside the White House. You're going to see what some are reporting, quote-unquote, shouting match, screaming match that happened between a disrespectful meeting that happened right now between President Trump, Vladimir Zelensky, and J.D. Vance. It is getting pretty intense of what's going on. We got to make sure we have all of this to cover. Don't go anywhere. This is a new Washington, D.C. This is aired out in public, whether that's Pam Bondi sending a message to Director Patel or whether that's having cameras live as Zelensky and Trump meet face-to-face and what that looks like. I at least like the transparency in this portion. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Back in a minute with that footage. Welcome back to Seculo. I told you we'd have that footage. We do have it. This is President Trump and Vladimir Zelensky and J.D. Vance meeting inside the White House. If you're watching, you'll be able to see it. If not, you'll be able to hear the audio. Reports were that it became a shouting match, that it got very intense inside of the White House, and we can confirm after just previewing this while we were in break, that is certainly the case. That is not necessarily overblown at all. This is a couple of minutes. This is about 2 minutes. We're going to play it for you as full as we can. So get ready. Here you go. This is a different White House. Take a look.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not strong...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
Do we have problems?
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems, even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
God bless, you will not have a war. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
I'm not dictating.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and it happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position.
You don't have the cards
right now. With us, you start having cards.
I'm not playing cards.
Right now, you don't. Yeah, you're playing cards.
I'm very serious.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
That's back to you.
Far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once?
A lot of times.
No, in this entire meeting, you said thank you.
Even today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
All right, so that was a segment from inside the White House. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. I'm so glad our team was able to pull it because that was wild. And it's still happening. Look, there's probably more that's going to come out from this. Part of me wants to play it again because I'm not going to because it's just like so shocking. You don't usually see, it feels very kind of like the United Kingdom Parliament where they're like yelling at each other publicly. You don't really see that coming out of the White House very much. Very tense moment. Look, both strong guys. You're seeing people, they're not going to back down in front of cameras. That's true for President Trump and for Zelensky. So we know that's the case. Let's go ahead. We're going to take some phone calls. I'm looking at the comments. They're lighting up right now. There are a lot of you on hold. We are going to try to get to you, but I'm sorry because some of you may not be able to just due to the time we had to play that. We had to play it, though. Let's go to Michelle first in California because she's an ACLJ champion. She gets priority. Michelle, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. That clip is amazing. Okay, so my comment is I think that the entire world takes the generosity of the United States for granted. And Zelensky should have offered the rare earth minerals or something in exchange. And on the other thing, I will be greatly disappointed if people are not fired from the FBI after withholding documents.
Michelle, I understand. I believe that you're right, that that should be something we look into in terms of who is withholding these documents and why and what the penalty will be. I agree with you that a lot of countries take, including, you can see what happened to USAID. A lot of people take the generosity of Americans. And look, I am totally fine with being, you know, that shining city, if you will, and being that country that really does have global impact. But you are right that sometimes it feels like we are taken advantage of in that situation because they're just expecting it. They're just expecting the funnel to just turn on.
Yeah, here's a hot take from the New Yorker. A writer at the New Yorker. This is the most shocking behavior by Trump and Vance I've ever seen in the Oval Office. An ambush.
I mean, I don't think it's an ambush, but I will give you, it's one of the more shocking things I've ever seen in front of the, inside of the White House, inside of the Oval Office. The footage has, I'm sure it's not, but the fact the cameras were on. I can tell you for sure that more intense things have happened in that office, but in the situation where the press is there, I mean, that's the first time I've seen world leaders really go at it. Pretty wild. Let's go ahead and try to take another call. Brian, hey, quickly, we're running a little low on time, so just go ahead.
Hi, this is Brian. Are you guys, do you hear me?
Brian, go ahead, man. We're running out of time. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, so are you out of time?
No, we're not. Be you about to be. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm in Orinda, California, listening to all of the shenanigans going on at the White House, and the other issues with disclosing information from AG Bondi. I wanted to talk about Hamas. I wanted to talk about the fact that the real issue has to do with Islam itself, not the land, not the Palestinians. It has to do with Islam. And I don't know how much you guys know, but I think Dr. Robert Spencer is a great resource for finding out exactly why things are.
I don't mean to cut you off, Brian. We've spent extensive amount of time talking about that topic and specifically of what that all means. You can find a lot of that on ACLJ.org. I hate to stop you, but we just got running low on time, and I don't also know who you're promoting, and I want to make sure we don't promote voices that we disagree with or maybe are not accurate. So I don't know who that is. I'm sure that could be good, but let's continue on. Let's go to Joe in New York. Very quickly, Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm Phil from New York. Listen, you guys are doing a great job, but, you know, there's a lot of things to find out. And the BBC reported months ago that they had these conscript squads that have to go out and find people that are dodging the draft over there. And they have these apps to let them know where these conscript squads are. And on top of that, Blinken has been lying to us for so long. And as far as these minerals go, Blinken stood up there with the NATO General Secretary and talked about how much they were given and how much we were given, but he never once mentioned that Europe was lending the money and we were giving the money, and the United States citizens need to know that.
Look, Joe, I think you're right for a lot of those things. We actually saw that J.D. Vance brought up. Don't tell us that, you know, you haven't had trouble recruiting.
Well, and Zelensky also said, when Trump first floated the mineral idea, said, I'm not going to be a debtor to what was a gift, pointing out that the Biden administration was just funneling money as quick as they could up into the end to Ukraine with no expectation that there would be any sort of reciprocity.
Let's take really quickly, John, you got like 10 seconds to be on the air. Kate, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to you today. Call back on Monday. John, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say, as far as Pam Bundy, that's, you know, she just started. Good God, give her a chance. That, you know, a lack of information, you know, give us some time. But my question really was, as far as Ukraine goes, how are they going to do the mineral thing when Russia is still bombing and all? You know, I mean,
let's
talk
about that, because I think the war maybe is a bit spun out of, you know, understanding where the locations are. It's a big piece of land. But let's go back to Pam Bundy for a second as we wrap up. we are giving grace there. Look, she has been an excellent friend and a good person in this situation. I think there's were some missteps in terms of the way you presented this to the people and to the media. There's ways to have handled this, and we can't really have these, you know, swap moments where you go, oh, this is coming, and then the next day you send out and say, oh, we don't have it. But of course, we give her grace. We will move forward. I appreciate all of you listening and supporting the work of the ACLJ. Do it today as we head off the air for the week. Go to aclj.org, and we'll talk to you next week.